This is Julie Renee with Miraculous Living Radio, and I want to welcome each one of you to the show today. And I'm going to start the show today with a blessing. May it be with the blessings of the Supreme Being that whatever happens during this next hour be a blessing to all of us in body, mind, emotions, and spirit. Amen. And wanted to talk for a few minutes about the energy on the planet these days and how people are doing, how to best navigate the changes. We've talked a little bit on this show about the astrological changes in the era, and we're leaving that patriarchal era, the age of patriarchal rule and dominance, and we'll look back over these last 2,000 years and notice that there's a very strong patriarchal influence. And what that would mean in that era was that everything that would be kind of dominated by individuals or strong aspects of an organization, so there'd be like a dominance sense to it, would be successful. So in the era of the Piscean Age, in that era, organizations would rise and really be supported by the energy on the planet that were patriarchal. And that really does come from the astrological age. And the age that we've been moving into for quite a while now is the age of Aquarius. And that is the age of equality, androgyny, and collaboration. So organizations would be most successful when they're moving from that dominant rule right now into a more co-creative state. And I sent out a Secret Keys newsletter last week really addressing that a little bit about leadership. So if you're in a corporation and you're wondering, your corporation is helter-skelter going here and there and everywhere, how you could really make your mark in this era and how you could really contribute to your organization is to have that collaborative, so say you're already a leader, you want to be having that collaborative energy about you. You want to encourage the people who work with you and for you to bring their ideas to the forefront. We're looking at a humane way of leading rather than a ruling way. And so we're wanting to really include the human spirit in the workplace so that all human spirits, everyone, no matter what role they play, are treated with respect and that their ideas are treated as important and that everyone is playing in the same ball field working at creating dynamic success in this era. And so we have to be somewhat mutable in this era because we've come from this very fixed, dominant place to this very expansive, co-collaborative space. And yet we need strong leaders in this era also. So leaders to actually lead the way for collaboration. And I think about someone who's influenced me that way. Deepak Chopra is a very good example of that. I just notice that he's so willing and so ready to collaborate with others and create things together. And perhaps that comes from the Indian culture, the culture that is a culture of collaboration. Maybe that comes from the time when there's just so many beings on the planet at once. That could be. But it also could just be that that is the next step for us. So with that, talking about the Indian influence, I want to talk a little bit about the tales of love. And so India is rich with stories of love, love stories. And we have both the beautiful soul partnering and we have the strange, unusual love relationships. I'm going to talk about an unusual relationship and one that is probably never really talked about and is useful for our culture, which is the relationship with Sita, Saraswati, with her father, Brahma, who Brahma gave birth to this child as an individual. He formed her, that so the legend is, and out of his mind, and she was born. And she, Saraswati, is the goddess who forwards intellectual endeavors and all creative arts. So this, you know, if you were in a school, if you were in a college or a university, any kind of school, and you would want the blessing of the divine aspect of God-Goddess, you would be bringing Saraswati's energy into your establishment, because she really blesses higher education. Also, for artists to have Saraswati energy in your space of creating, whether it's painting or writing or sculpting or making music. She's seen sitting on a swan and playing her veena, her stringed instrument. So we know a little bit about this story, and it's kind of interesting. Brahma, who was an ancient god, one of the three male gods, is known as a god who has no real discernment. Apparently his daughter got the discernment, and he didn't. And so he gets kind of not really called on very often. We hear about Vishnu, the god of love, and all the incarnations of Vishnu, Rama, Krishna, Pandaranga, many, Vasudeva, Bhagavati. They're all incarnations of the god of love and the female aspect of the god of love. So Vishnu, and the counterpart, the equal to Vishnu, is Lakshmi, and Sita and Radha and many, many other divine goddesses of love. And then we hear about Shiva. And so we hear about Vishnu and Shiva, and Brahma is left in the dust. And Shiva is a creator-destroyer energy. So he's, you know, he brings in that great ability to create something and also the great ability to destroy something. On my Sounds of Truth CD, you'll find the Triambakam mantra, which is really an excellent mantra to use when you're destroying illness in the body. So, you know, it actually erases the illness if you chant it over and over again. The beautiful stories of miraculous healings in India with the Triambakam mantra. So that's bringing the energy of Shiva in a powerful way, that energy of creator-destroyer. And we can look at the gods, goddesses as spirit guides, so they're certainly not the same energy as the Christian, Judaic, Islamic singular god, which would be considered like the guide for the planet, the supreme being. And so we have that supreme being, and then we have these gods and goddesses. I think a nice equation of gods and goddesses in the Christian tradition, especially in the tradition of Catholicism, is to have all these patron saints that will come and help you. And their energy is, you know, the patron saint of lost causes, or the patron saint of nature or love, or you know, and each of them has a calling, and each of them has an energy to help us. And so we look at the gods and goddesses from India in the very same way. So we wound around a little bit here. I'd like to talk to you a little bit more about Saraswati. And Saraswati is an amazing goddess. You actually never really see her in any paintings or images with a partner. And there's a story behind that. Brahma, when he created his daughter, fell in love with his daughter and wanted to make his daughter his bride. And the other gods, Vishnu and Shiva, were really opposed to it and prevented that from happening. So whether there was kind of an incestual fantasy about Saraswati, it's a very interesting dynamic. In any case, Saraswati never partners because of the relationship with her father, Brahma. And Brahma gets the reputation of not having discernment or judgment. Brahma, I was in the one temple to Brahma, which has a gigantic Brahma bowl, like a steer or a cattle, you know. And it's hidden. You have to kind of walk a mile in to this village where this big temple is to Brahma. And he also is known for giving boons to anyone. So if you make obeisance to Brahma, even like people who have bad intent, if they pray long enough to Brahma, Brahma will give them superhuman powers to create havoc on the planet. So he just gives anybody who prays to him power. And so the other traditions kind of gang up on him and say, you know, we're going to limit your power and we're going to prevent you from creating chaos on the planet. So Brahma really takes a very big back seat in the role of the Hindu gods and goddesses, and yet considered powerful. He's one of the three gods, and yet not really accessed very often. And Saraswati continues on and uses all of her miraculous energy to really pump beautiful energy into creative and intellectual endeavors. And Saraswati is considered like this great, great mind, very beautiful, graceful, highly, highly intelligent, with so many gifts to give. And think about that in our own culture, about what happens when love goes wrong, maybe inappropriate love with family members. And why does that happen? And what is our soul calling into us when perhaps some dynamic is set up that's just not considered appropriate in our culture ever? And, you know, the soul, our spirit wants to heal and wants to move forward and will bring in leftovers from other lives to resolve in this life. I once spoke to a very, very old man who was a healer when I was a young woman. And he was a very wise man. He said that he wasn't particularly troubled by the stories of incest as long as a person could stay in that light and love and forgiveness space. So you have to get to that space of everything is in divine order and you can move out of that pretty rapidly. He said that his feeling was that most of the incest that happened was inappropriate expression of past lives where perhaps the partners were in love with each other. Maybe they were husband and wife and they come in as father and daughter or mother and son. And a dynamic hasn't cleared yet for that love for the love to take its next step up. And so to have some understanding of that, that's a fascinating journey. Also, healers take that on, the kind of the difficulties to really be the grating or the sandpaper that smooths that diamond into a beautiful, multifaceted, elegant, rainbow light diamond. And so sometimes we bring in difficulties to help us on our journey. So that, I'd like to bring Ray Zander on the line if she's able to come on. And also just looking to see if there's any questions from the audience.
Hi, Julie. This is Ray. Wonderful. Interesting stories. And again, so multi-layered and complex in this idea of soul families and love gone right and love gone wrong. And I was curious, well, we do want to put out if anyone would like to ask a question or get a reading. We're opening up the phone lines at this point, so feel free to press 1 on your handset. But until that time, we have some questions. I'd love to get more clarity and more understanding from you about this whole idea of soul families and soul teachers and, you know, this idea that we are not only, you know, incarnating with other humans, human experiences, but also the guides that travel with us through these different incarnations. What is your understanding of how that dynamic works?
Yeah, well, you know, it's so fascinating. I think when you, we were thinking about this morning, this idea of there are times when you come into a room and your heart leaps and you see someone and you recognize them and you don't know that you recognize them, but you feel happy. You feel happy that you're coming into their space, and you look into their eyes and you remember their eyes. And it just is a soul recognition of, oh, I feel at home with you. I feel like I'm in the right place. And so we have that wonderful experience of kind of coming home in the eyes and in the essence or presence of another. And then we have this sense of being out in the world and working with others who are unfamiliar to us, their systems, their ways of being, their energy, perhaps their eyes are unfamiliar. And those are wonderful, wonderful opportunities for us to understand other processes and other experiences. And I think our soul families, you know, often a good clue to that are the people that you're attracted to and bring into and that stay with you over time. And sometimes our birth families are not our soul families. Maybe we're working out some karma, or maybe we've chosen to have an experience with the birth family. More than not, our birth families are our soul family. But there are cases where our soul family are out in the world. I think about this this sense of love and calling in the divine. And one of the things that happens if you're raised in a family that's particularly dysfunctional and you don't really have that confident, grounded sense of love, you'll always be looking to others and watching for their foibles and flaws. And so you keep magnetizing in what you saw in your family, even though you're saying not that, not that. You keep bringing in that not that, not that energy. And if you've been in a family where you have that grounded sense of love, one of the things that does happen so beautifully is that you're able to see what you really love and feel, and you can more readily call love to you. And so it's kind of a soul, it's a journey in the physical realm of really finding and experiencing and enjoying and allowing that sense of the other that represents or reflects you to come in. So you can actually prevent both your soul family and your soul mate from coming in if you're always looking for the not that. And when you're really getting back into the space of love, joy, that space of bliss, that's the natural state for you to be in, you're actually able to magnetize to you your loved ones. And then you also asked about the soul, the gods, the goddesses, the spirit guides that come with us lifetime after lifetime. And so we look at the divine patterns that we have, and then we also look at just the agreements we have with spirit guides. So divine patterns is one area that we'll talk about, and spirit guides, we'll start with that because that's more on the mundane level. Where there are, for every one human spirit that gets a body, there are more than 100 human spirits that remain without a body. This physical planet cannot possibly hold all the human spirits. And so some human spirits stay around us as our spirit guides. Everyone has some human spirits that they have an agreement with, and they may tap in somewhere in the physical body or hang out around you to experience a physical incarnation without actually getting a full experience of a body. So somebody might be in your big finger or your toe, or somebody might tap in once in a while in your tummy or something like that in your mind. My preference for people who have these spirit guides is to actually physically ask them and insist that they not channel through your body. It's actually not helpful for you. It's normal for humans to have collaborative spirits who want to channel through their body, but it's not the best choice. The best choice is to have them outside your aura. And, you know, when you're doing something, like if I'm teaching, I let the spirit guides from all the clients who come in to just, I usher them onto spiritual bleachers that I put out on my patio that's just 10 feet away from where we're working. And I just have like a whole viewing section, you know, kind of like an operating room where you can look over and you can see everything that's going on without everybody crowded into the room. So that, just on a physical level, that's really what I prefer, is spirit guides that have an agreement with you, let them stay outside of your aura and let them actually sit on the bleachers and, you know, you create a space for them. If you've got an agreement with them, create a space for them, but they don't get to live ongoingly in your body. And there's opportunities to learn how to have that happen, so you can actually learn from me. I can teach you, or I can help you move some spirit guides. Maybe there's some pesky ones that bug you on a regular basis, or some noisy critter in your head that's a squatter in your head. And there's some techniques for moving them out. And then regaining authority in your body, in the center of your head, and really being able to access them, give them projects. Another group of spirit guides that likes to hang out with individuals are baby beings that we have agreements to bring in. And interestingly, baby beings don't know if you're a grandmother and can't have a baby, or they don't know if you're not married. They're going to hang around with you your entire incarnation. So baby spirits are always looking for an opportunity to have a body, and they make an agreement with you, and they might be with you 5 lifetimes or 9 lifetimes until you're actually able to fulfill the contract and give them a body. And so with those little baby being spirits, I often send them out to do projects like, we're looking for a publisher for the book that's coming out, and why don't you go out and look and find, you know, a really great publisher that's going to be energized and ready to work with us. And so I can just send them off as you can, your little baby spirits, to do projects for you, like bring in energy, good energy for you. You can send a baby spirit off if you're in a state of wanting a child and you don't have a partner. You can send a baby being off to bring your sweetheart in to you, the man who would be the good father for this baby spirit. You can also do that. So there's lots of things you can give baby spirits, homework and assignments. Consciously, you might want to bring in a spirit that's a healer, and you might want to check through the crowd of spirit guides that are hanging around you to see if you have a healer spirit in your space. And a wonderful way to use a healer spirit is allowing them to come through your hand channels. So you imagine that your hands, once you've grounded yourself and cleared yourself, of course, setting up the space safely, imagine that the spirit guide is 10 feet behind you. Open your hand channels, which are like camera lenses. You open your hand chakras and allow the spirit to just tap into your hand channels, and then you can use that healing spirit to heal yourself. So now it's plugged into your healing energy. The palms of your hands have tremendous healing energy, so you and the spirit can work on healing different aspects of yourself and others. And it's a beautiful collaboration. When you're done with that process, then you want to ask the spirit guide who has remained 10 feet behind you, just the hands in your hand channels, to completely remove themselves and all their energy from your hand channels, and then let your hand channels close. And, you know, some gifted people choose to channel. I really recommend that an unexperienced person just not choose to channel, that you really want guidance on how to channel beings. And that would be instead of taking them into your hands, you would take a being into the center of your head, and you might take the being into some part of your body. The way I've learned channeling is just center of head so that they don't have access to the whole body. It's less difficult on the body if it's just center of head. Some people, some channels actually burn out after 13 years of bringing the spirit entirely into the body. And it's because the spirit of the spirit being channeled is not a match for the physical body. Our physical bodies are actually made for the energy and vibration of our spirit. And so that's one of the things that is so fascinating, is to really know that this body is just for you. And if you decide to channel, you know, the safety zone is in the head, and then moving all the energy out once you're done with the channel. So you seal your top of your head back up, you know, and you just come back into yourself fully and completely. So you want to close that channel off. But like I said, I would really, for you lay people out there, channeling through the center of your head, just don't recommend it, you know, for an inexperienced person. But I do recommend the healing spirit and the working with the spirit through your hand channels. That's a great way to get going. And it's kind of a channel in a way, in that you're channeling, but you're actually more learning how to direct another. You're actually directing the spirit on what needs healing and how to manifest that healing. And then we do have spirits that just are attracted to our light or our energy, or mischievous spirits. And it's nice to just move them out of the space, you know, little havoc makers. And sometimes they come with us from lifetime to lifetime, and it's great to end the karma. If you have karma with them, it's great to move them on and out. There's a lot of beings and spirits and things going on in the astral, and thank goodness everybody can't see everything, or we'd all be a little crazy.
You had mentioned also divine patterns. Is that different than guides?
Yeah. Divine patterns, and we didn't actually even come to the part about working with divine guides, like our gods, our religious patterns, and things like that. So let's do both of them. So
yes,
we'll talk about divine patterns. So there's divine patterns, and there's actually just soul patterns that we do from lifetime to lifetime. These are such good questions. I feel like I could talk for hours on these subjects. So let me see. We'll go to patterns first. So we have the mundane patterns and then the divine patterns. And the mundane patterns are things that we have created or generated for ourselves. And it's kind of similar to karma, except it's what we've created for ourselves. And so when we clear a pattern like I love myself, and we go back in time to lifetimes where maybe we fell out of love with ourselves, or we stopped loving our body, and it will still have an impression and will still register as no if that wasn't healed and cleared. And so we go through those kinds of patterns. There's a healing program that I do, and it's something that I'm just developing, so I've been doing it for a couple months now with my students, my individual students and clients that are coming to me, which is to clear, I love myself, I trust myself, and I can express my unique self, which creates a great freedom for being in the world, and from which we can function at a much higher level when we have those all resonating completely as truth, as yes, in the body. And then we have other patterns that happen from other lifetimes that come through. Interestingly, a gentleman came in a couple days ago and said, you know, I want to clear the jealousy pattern I have with my wife, and I also want to clear the alcohol problem that I have, because I don't think it's I don't think I have alcoholism. I think I have something from some other time. And so we created a strong affirmation so that we could find where he lost affinity with that faith and trust. And sure enough, it was many lifetimes ago. And things that actually were out of alignment for him, where he had been untrustable in other lives. And so it was coming up to haunt him in his relationship with his wife. Not that his wife was untrustable, but that he had caused challenges in other lifetimes where he had perhaps been, I don't want to reveal too much, but been unfaithful to his partners, and that he was the unreliable one. And so in this lifetime, it was weighing heavily on him, like he was constantly experiencing that jealousy, which is lack of trust in the other, which had nothing to do with her, but had everything to do with him. And so those kinds of patterns, we can clear those kinds of patterns, which are not divine patterns, but they come with us from life to life until we say, I'm ready to let that go. And there's techniques that I teach, and there's techniques that I do to heal people. So if you want to, if you're listening now and you'd love to get that healing, those are rapid. Those are, you can do one of those in 15 minutes and get a big, big boost, a big boost up. The divine patterns we have, I think about DNA and divine patterns. And DNA, we bring in our mother's 22 authentic chromosomes and our 22 from our father. And then we have two God patterns, two God chromosomes that are unique to us. And I think about that as the core starting place of our divine patterns. But we also bring in from lifetime to lifetime our nature, our spiritual nature. And so if you've been a monk and a nun and a, you know, like you've maybe been a universal being, like you've gone from one spiritual path to another. A lot of spiritual beings, however, just pick one path and they keep doing it lifetime after lifetime and really getting mastery over it. So those are more kind of spiritual patterns that we bring in. And then, you know, that soul essence of us, and I think about the time when we were all one and that divine pattern in that resonates with each of us, that light, that essence of the all and the everything. And, yeah, that divine pattern that when we tap into that deepest, deepest part of us, that light that came from the all, came from the everything, that remembers everything truthfully, completely, and that divine state, which if you've been in that state of meditation where you've become one with everything, it's like your cells, your body, your physical body kind of disappear into the essence of everything and you feel and breathe everything. And that definitely is your divine patterning, is that of everything, being one with everything.
It is quite beautiful, the kaleidoscope of relationships, both the physical and non-physical, that you're speaking about. And I think you're right, it's probably good that we're day-to-day ignorant of most of them, otherwise we'd probably be a little wacky. But it does, I think, help to know that there's a lot more going on than what we may see or feel or hear from our physical senses. And, you know, Julie, I've heard you talk about this technique, this practice of clearing. And, you know, I'd love it if you could just spend a moment talking about, one, what that is, and then secondly, at what point is it necessary? At what point does the opportunity of clearing become an important healing practice?
Well, you know, I personally, I can't imagine living my life without the tools to clear, open, and unite with the divine. So for me, it's just a necessary part of my spiritual hygiene and is part of my daily routine, my daily practice. The basic core level of clearing is by doing your grounding meditation every day. The Definitive Guide to Meditation is a fantastic CD to guide you through clearing all the energy channels of your body so you have a spiritual shower from the inside out. That CD has a 37-minute, a 10-minute, and a 5-minute meditation on it. So depending on what amount of time you have, you get that whole clearing, even a very, very super fast 5-minute clearing every day. You can do that every day. So I highly recommend our listeners to order that CD. It's a really, really incredible resource for clearing out the channels of the body. So you're clearing your leg channels, your meridians, your chakras. You're clearing the energy channels, that spirit and body connection, the genetic entity in the back of the head. You're clearing the meridians in the back, the arm channels, the hand channels, which are your creative channels. You're clearing all the things up through the belly, all those channels and meridians that go through the belly and the organs, through the neck and through the head. You're clearing out your aura really, really completely, so you're moving everybody else's energy out of your aura. You're cleaning up the edge of your aura, which often has dings, dents, and holes in it, so you're actually much more resilient when you have that beautiful protective bubble around you, surrounding you, whole, complete, and perfect. We do a deep program on the outside edge of the aura, so we burn off other people's programming that's coming at us, so we can authentically live our life that's true to ourselves. So that's like phenomenal and accessible to every single person every day. So you can just get right into that really in a very, very beautiful, easy access way. The other ways that are really accessible to people instantly are, I really, really recommend cardio. It clears, knocks everybody, all the spirit guides that are hanging off you as you are dancing around or running or whatever that is out in nature. You're getting those happy endorphins just pumping away in the blood. And actually, when your chemistry changes, your body chemistry changes to a high level of happiness, entities that might be hanging on you get knocked out of that space. So that's a really great way to be really authentically authoring yourself with cardio. Yoga is really fantastic for opening the chakras. And if you really do a good yogic practice, every one of your chakras and your nadis are going to be lined up and spinning, and you're going to be pretty blissed out at the end of your practice. So that's really incredible. There's a practice of kundalini yoga or kundalini meditation. Most of the people I work on actually don't really comprehend it or understand it, and so I'm clearing their kundalini channels. But you can do that for yourself. That's kundalini is kind of a double helix energy that rises from the base of the spine and goes out the top of the head and surrounds the body. It's kind of an electric green energy, and it's really a part of our life force and a vibrant part of our experience. If the kundalini is active, you're going to have a pretty darn healthy body and a very beautiful spiritual connection. Then the deeper levels of clearing are things that I teach in my workshops and my and on my CDs, but I highly, highly recommend you have some private time with me or workshop time with me if you'd like to learn some of these more advanced clearings. Just this morning I noticed, as I've been doing massive shifts for myself in my career and my energetic body, there were four entities that had kind of jumped in around me the last few days, and I did four erasures this morning to clear things that just I don't want around me. They're not contributing to me. And so I removed them from my energetic space pretty rapidly. But that's a tool that takes some time to learn. You're so welcome to learn that from me. I teach it also locally. There's a couple institutes in the Bay Area, the Berkeley Psychic Institute and Ashlepian Institute, both teach the erasure techniques, and they're fabulous teaching schools that I highly recommend if you'd like to just go kind of through a kind of a slow-paced once a week course. They're totally set up to just teach you how to clear entities. That's one of the things that is a big, big, strong teaching for them. For me, I like to clear and go through deprogramming past lives, the timeline that comes with us into this body, and also timelines that go way out into the past. I teach DNA clearing, so clearing DNA patterns from mother and father that are actually harmful patterns. So my dear friend Kate, we cleared breast cancer patterns that are in her, no longer in her DNA, but her mother and had been in the family line, people dying from breast cancer. And she was just like, boy, I just don't want to live another day with that pattern in my body. So we can actually go in and look for it in the DNA and remove it, and then set up a healthy pattern for her for healthy breast tissue indefinitely into the rest of her life. And that's pretty spectacular. I am actually, for those of you who are interested, there is a date set now for the DNA and stem cell training, and it'll be in my living room in late November. And also there's a DNA stem cell training in St. Louis on November 14th at the home of Jan and Roger Walsh. And so if you want that information and you're listening, please go into my website and shoot me an email. I'll put you into the list for invitations to events. I have quite a few special events coming up in the next couple months, a whole bunch of them. So there's also in St. Louis, well, I'll be in St. Louis for a week in November, and there's a Center for Spiritual Living has invited me to teach a class on extreme abundance. It'll be a six-hour Monday, Tuesday night, the 15th and 16th at Center for Spiritual Living in the St. Louis area. So some really fun things coming up. So I personally couldn't imagine living without some of these tools for clearing and opening. It feels to me like there's lots of things you can do with your mind and your emotional body, mentally moving yourself forward. But there's just stuff that needs that spiritual, those spiritual tools to move forward. So you might be in a vortex where what the heck is going on? You can't step into your abundance. I think I might have talked about this before, but I had an indentured servant programming from my parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, all of which, my father and my great-grandmother on my father's side and my grandmother on my mother's side, all were indentured servants. So even in present time, we knew that they had, you know, been put into servitude. So I had to clear that to really make some jumps into the nice, strong, six-figure space that I live in now. And really, there's other things that I'm clearing to get into that seven-figure income. And for me, that was really key to making the leap up. It was really important to clear the DNA and, you know, really to clear those patterns that my father's side of the family had around wealth and money and working hard. Well, they don't make money, but they work hard. I must have heard that a million times. And so, you know, they were good because they worked hard. And so we've really been looking at, in all the abundance classes I'm teaching, we're working on clearing those patterns to joyful grace and ease, working at a pace that's really comfortable, and having work be not work, but just joyful, an experience of, you know, just moving forward in a playful routine, something that really brings you a lot of happiness and that you're well rewarded for your experience.
I love what you're talking about, Julie, and I got this visual of sort of a spiritual detangler. You know, my son gets very tangled hair, and we just spray a little detangler, and we get all the clearing. And I think what you're talking about is really lifestyle clearing, where you practice. I love the idea of cardio being a clearing practice, and just really understanding that there's simple ways to just be your best advocate on the non-physical side and watch the physical implications. And I'd like to take a quick break, and when we come back, if you feel up to it, how does a clearing type of meditation sound for this morning?
Sure, yeah, let's do that.
Wonderful. You're listening to Miraculous Living Radio with Reverend Julie Renee. If you'd like more information about all the classes and opportunities to engage this information, go to www.julierenee.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back in just a moment.
And welcome back. And I realize that I should make a correction on that beautiful announcement, which is that we've moved Unlimited Love to November 3rd. We're going to do an evening class, which is going to be phenomenal. And the change has been made on the website, but it'll be Wednesday nights. And the time is 7 to 8:30 Pacific Standard Time. And just really wanting to invite everybody to come into that. That is a love clearing workshop. What we do is we go in and we clear contracts, cords, agreements. We clear your karma once and for all with everyone. And the results and the upgrades and the joy and the happiness and the completion are phenomenal. Just one miracle after another in that course. It's a really, really phenomenal course. It's the first time ever that it's going into teleconference format. So I'd love to invite you. And the fabulous thing that we've done is we've taken that very wonderful price of $225 for those 6 hours, and we've dropped it to $95 for this first teleconference. So it's a one-time offer. We're looking to make a shift and start doing it on, making it available for more people. So please, if you're interested in these love clearings, phenomenal, phenomenal price. Best ever, one time only. Sign in today. $95 is your price. So 4 Wednesdays in November. All right. And let's go ahead and create this beautiful clearing meditation. And I just want to invite you all to find a comfortable seated position, your spine erect, and your feet firmly on the ground. And breathing in and out. And as you breathe in positive energy. And as you breathe out any negativity, breathing in and out. Send a grounding cord down from the base of your spine to the center of the earth. Make the grounding cord nice and wide. Set the grounding cord on release. And begin to release the excess energy in your body. Release fight or flight energy, worry or concern. Let's just let it all go. And if that energy is a little stuck, a good thing to do is to put a little vortex, maybe a whirlwind or a tornado, a suction. You might put a big shout back at the bottom of your grounding cord, just looking for more energy movement. Some of you have some stuck energy. Very, very good. And then for male bodies, so we ground the male body, which is the testes, with a line of energy down to the center of the earth and set the male body on release. And just for these few minutes, we're going to just put you into neutrality, releasing competition and aggression. It's also fine to take that back into your body if you want to when we're done with the meditation. You just bring everybody to a neutral playing field for the meditation. For female bodies, we're going to ground your ovaries with a line of energy as wide as your wrist, hollow in the center, down to the first chakra, and then down to the center of the earth. Set the right and left ovary on release and release all the energy of healing projects from the ovaries. So right now, we're coming into neutrality in the female body. And anybody who you've been doing a healing on, your children, your boss, your friends, your family members, let's let that all go and bring those ovaries into neutrality. And then popping up to the adrenals, cute little acorn-like glands that sit at the top of the kidneys, the right and left kidney, with a line of energy as wide as your wrist, held in the center. Let's draw a line of energy from each of the adrenals to the perineum and down to the center of the earth. And for those of you who maybe aren't so familiar with anatomy, you're going to find your adrenals about an inch up from the waistline and about 2 inches off the spine. So there they are. Perfect. Perfect, perfect. You all got it. And then we're grounding them and setting them on release. And we're going to release the fight or flight energy. You guys are doing so well. This is wonderful. All right, and then let's release the nervous system. Let's pop a little connector from the sciatic nerve into the adrenals. And then let's just see that beautiful lacy network of nerves light up and clear out. So if you've got other energy, yellow or black or brown energy from the nervous system, let's just let it ground out through the adrenal grounding cord. And I like to imagine a bucket of water with a cork on the bottom. You pull the cork out and the water runs out. It's exactly the same way you plug in the nervous system into the adrenals and you pulled out the cork. And basically any excess energy in the nerves, congestion, tension, can all just run out. Beautiful. All right, and popping to the top of the head, let's clear out the center of the head. And we'll open a trap door in the center of the head in the back. So in the back of your head, open a trap door. And let's go ahead and take a spiritual fire hose and wash out the center of the head. And if you haven't been in the center of your head for a very long time, like you're remiss about your meditation, you might actually have some squatters up there. So you want to just show them the door and say bye-bye, squatters. And so you're moving out everybody and everything out of the center of the head. And you can spray out the center of the head. You can move spider webs, cobwebs, looping thoughts, paperwork, gunk that's sitting around. A lot of times the center of the head might be reflected in how clean your house is. If you look around your house and you've got a whole bunch of stuff in kind of disorder, you might also have that in the center of your head. So let's do some good feng shui cleanup in the center of the head, and then naturally the house will come into order too. So if you have a pristine center of head, you very likely have an environment that's pretty pristine. And then when you're ready, close the trap door, feeling very cleared out. And let's sit on the throne in the center of your head. And from that throne, let's direct the aura. So we'll just pull the aura in to 18 inches around the body. I'm just telling the aura, come in. And let's smooth out any dings, dents, or holes in the aura. And this is really clearing off things that you might not even know have happened. You might have had an argument with somebody and there would be a dent or a ding. You always feel when somebody's attacked you, you kind of know, wow, that was awful. So you feel that. That was like a ding or dent in the aura. Somebody might even rip, you know, they say, oh, I'm going to rip you a new one or some crazy thing, but they're actually ripping a hole in your aura when they imagine that. They're angry with you and they're, you know, they're sending something to you. They're actually ripping something, a tear in your aura. So all that love, we just send love back to all those people and get into neutrality, and we had some part in whatever that was. But let's smooth out the edge of the aura now and forgive and bless any misunderstandings, both on our part and on others. And, you know, it's okay to be human. It's okay to have a bad day. It's okay to be grumpy. It's okay. Just forgive yourself and move on. And you know, one of the beautiful things about being human is we always have a do-over every day. So if you don't get it perfect one day, you have another day to practice. And I just really love the longevity of a human lifetime. It just goes on and on and on and on. And so we're just practicing at life. And you can go, well, what worked today? And what do I want to let go of? And really focus on the what worked and bring more of that in. So we're talking about bringing that aura back into pristine order. And we're also just letting a space of forgiveness come in, a space of I can do better tomorrow, or I can do better today. I can let go of a pattern that might bring negativity into me. And I can bring in a pattern of more love, more respect, a sense of cherishing everything and everyone around me, a sense of gratitude. And so you strongly and completely are embodying a shift in your essence. Beautiful. I'd like you to clean out the center of your aura. We'll do this kind of rapidly. Put a little golden vacuum cleaner. It's automated at the top of your head. And we're going to clean out everything that you picked up by being spongy and going through your day, listening to other people. You know, sometimes we feel with our aura and with our body what's going on with other people. A lot of people who maybe had a childhood that didn't feel that safe, you know, that's a regular way of being for people. They sponge the information through the aura to take, you know, sense, to be aware of what's going on. So let's go ahead and just have that vacuum cleaner just spiral around quickly around the body. Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Let's throw that down the grounding cord. We're going to do a couple more really quick little steps here. Open your feet to earth energy. And let's just bring the earth energy up through your feet, ankles, shins, calves, knees, thighs, out the hips and down the grounding cord. Beautiful. I know that was really quick. And then let's bring some cosmic energy into the back of the head, 1 inch above where the spine meets the skull, down the neck and shoulders, arms, elbows, forearms, wrists, hands, through the fingertips, clearing your creative channels, your ability to grasp and receive. More of that energy down the back channels and up through the belly, through the chest, through the neck, through the head, fountaining out the top of the head like a beautiful Italian fountain, bathing and cleansing your aura. Beautiful. Coming into the center of the head, bringing a golden sun into the center of your head, filling up your body with that golden sun, wiggling your fingers and toes, coming back into the room. May it be with the blessings of the Supreme Being that this healing meditation is complete. May the entire world be filled with radiant health, vitality, abundance, joy, and peace. Tatastu, so be it.